You have to put these on right side up. Well, first the bad news. There's 21 points to this sermon. I know that's seven times as many as you're supposed to have. That means I won't be preaching for a while. No, that's not true. There is 21 points to this sermon, and they're found in your bulletin, because even if you take shorthand or you write sloppy like me, you'll never be able to read it when you get done. So please find that in your bulletin. Second of all, I want you to know I had great mercy on you, because when I told Chad that I had 21 points to this sermon, he informed me that he had located someone on the internet that same week that had 40. So I have had great mercy on you. Be grateful. Well, we're going to read Daniel 6 together. We're going to take a look at it. This is, of course, a favorite story of many children, including myself when I was a child and even as an adult, Daniel in the Lion's Den. But I fear that many times when we tell this story, we really do not share with our children the glories that are found in it. And so one of the things I want you to get today is how deep some of our children's stories are. They are the Word of God. That's why we tell them, not because they're neat stories. As we read this morning, I want you to remember two things. Number one, God is in control, but that's been the theme throughout all of Daniel so far and will continue to be the same. But even more in this, I want you to think this as we read this. The God you serve makes all the difference in how you live your life. And how you live your life makes all the difference in how you end up. So, if you will, stand and let's read Daniel 6 together. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps would give an account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all and the other presidents and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the presidents and satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. They could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the counselors, the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, should be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, which is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And the stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's pray. Lord, may we as those who have matured, many of us hearing this story all of our lives, never reaching for the depths of it, may we now be found as those who put away childish things. And we look at this as those who are mature, and teach us, Lord, not only so that we might be different, that we might look at you different, but that we might live our lives in such a fashion that the world sees us differently and therefore sees you differently. And may, because of all this, many be saved and glory be given and your kingdom built. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, there's three earthly characters in this story. There's Darius, who ruled the earth. He believed he was a god, or at least a representative of a god. There were the presidents and satraps. They seemed to count themselves as their own god. They were always promoting themselves. And then there was Daniel, and he served the living and true God. There was one other main character in this story, and I kept him separate because he's not earthly, and it's the Lord God Almighty. And he's really in control of this whole story, and he's orchestrating the whole thing. So keep him in mind. Watch the difference in this story between how each person or group behaves themselves and how they end up in the end. That's very important. All right, verses 1 to 3. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. Darius is now king. If this is Darius the First, he was a brutal and vicious king. Actually, he was a terrible conqueror. As a matter of fact, when he conquered Babylon, he crucified over 3,000 people all at the same time. Took them out there, crucified, and got rid of them. Everything in his kingdom is monitored, and he wants to make sure he doesn't lose anything. So what he does, he decides, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take 120 people, I'm going to set them throughout my kingdom, they're going to oversee my stuff. And I'll have three presidents who will oversee them. And Daniel was one of those presidents. He had already risen to the top. He had served Nebuchadnezzar well. He was trusted. So Daniel then he's reaching the top even better. He's looking like he's going to wind up to be president of the presidents. The Bible says he became distinguished because there was a godly spirit in him, an excellent spirit in him. Well, number one, then, and by the way, I won't keep doing this because I will run out of fingers and toes and all that. So if I do that, don't even pay attention to my fingers. If you serve God, then His excellent spirit is in you, and you should distinguish yourself in our world. Daniel was distinguished. There is an excellent spirit in him. Now, don't hear me say that Christians are to be the best in their fields, no matter what. Because to some degree, that might take some idolatry. Daniel was a eunuch, probably made a eunuch by Nebuchadnezzar, so all he had to deal with was God and king. But God has given many of us other tasks to do. He's given us schooling and families and all kinds of things. For us to become the best in our occupation might mean that we'd have to leave out some of those other areas. So the issue is to live a godly life, you know, a well-balanced godly life in front of the world based on the priorities that God has given us in His Word. Some things won't ever change. Family, church, things like that won't change. But some things will change, and we'll have to constantly sort them out in seasons of our lives. All right, verses 4 and 5. The president's satraps, they're not going to stand for this nonsense of Daniel being turned into the president of the presidents. They're not going to have some guy that doesn't even follow their own gods ruling over them. So they take out and they start looking for how he does his job. Let's see if we can find fault. I mean, after all, this is about a promotion in his job, and they can't find any fault. So they gather all together and they put their notes together and they find out they still can't find anything wrong with him. His performance is excellent. He was faithful. He had no errors. So after they compared notes and they found out that he did the job well and they didn't have any reason for not promoting Daniel, they looked around and found something else that was a problem with Daniel. Something that couldn't be compared to him, to them, and that was his God. That was the only thing there was. And by the way, Darius probably hadn't ever dealt with his God. Darius didn't really care who Daniel worshipped as long as he took good care of Darius and his stuff. Darius was the king. And Daniel served him well. He knew how to handle himself among royalty. He knew how to dress appropriately. He knew how to speak the language. Daniel caused Darius' kingdom to prosper, and that was all that mattered to him. Number two, if you serve God, then God sets the standard for doing our job. Daniel served the king well because he was a servant of God. We're not simply to be people who do enough to get by. We're to be people who do the job well because we serve God too. Promotions and raises, etc., are not to be the reason that we excel in our jobs. You may or may not deserve one. You may or may not get one. But we serve well where we've been placed because we serve our God. We are a representative of Him. It is a reflection of Him, the way we do our work. Number three, if you serve God, when our enemies examine our lives, the only thing they should have against us is our God. Daniel's work record was spotless. The presidents and satraps couldn't find anything wrong with it. So they attacked his faith in God. D.A. Carson says it this way, Daniel's colleagues were unable to find ground for complaint against him and therefore had no leverage to remove him as an administrator. While his colleagues had come to hate him, they could not but recognize his integrity. They knew that their only hope lay in employing Daniel's well-known spiritual strength as a political weakness, knowing that he would obey God rather than men. They did this by turning the king's spiritual weakness into their own political strength. Now, this is easier said than done. It's difficult to live a life that is absolutely spotless. So when people look at us, they can't find fault. But it is the challenge that the Scriptures give us. Verses 6 and 7. The presidents and satraps conspire against Daniel and also against the king. They come to the king and set him up. They trap him. They're not concerned with his kingdom or his welfare. They don't want the best man for the job and the position. They could care nothing about that. They want Daniel out of the picture. So they come to the king and they say, O king, live forever. Now, this is the appropriate greeting for a king. They were out of line. But they're supposed to mean it. I mean, they're the hierarchy in his kingdom. They're supposed to be paying attention. They're supposed to want him to succeed and prosper. Obviously, if he succeeds and prospers, so do they. But they were entirely hypocrites. They weren't trying to get the king to make an informed decision at all. They were just trying to trap him and deceive him. And it worked. But they have to lie. They have to say, King, all of your hierarchy, the presidents, the satraps, all of us, we're in agreement with this. Not only that, they drag in these poor counselors and governors. Now, I don't even know if they were even asked about it, but they say everybody who's an upper level, they're in agreement with this. It's not true. Daniel wasn't in agreement, so they lied. Now, they did this. Interesting point. Darius here never questioned it. So that means that Daniel probably didn't have any, or maybe none, of the discussions with Darius about who his God was. Darius just came into the king's presence on a regular basis and served him well. Because if Daniel was the most important person in his kingdom, and Darius would have known this guy bows to the Lord every day, he wouldn't have put him in jeopardy. He wouldn't even bought into the lie of the fact that, hey, everybody's in favor of this 30-day thing. So number four, if you serve God, then live out your faith whether or not you can speak your faith. There are times when the Lord calls us into circumstances that we cannot speak our faith. We are to live it. Sometimes He puts us in ungodly or not godly friendly situations. We're still responsible to live it. And we're supposed to live it in such a fashion that we pay attention to see when He gives us an opportunity to speak. And when we do speak, then our testimony, what we say, should match up how we've been living our lives all along. Well, the lynch mob unfolds a strategy. It's not even a long-term law. It's very well planned out. They knew that Darius wasn't a faithful and worshiping man. So they come to him and they say, hey, we've got this great idea how you can be honored. Now, he thinks himself a god, or at least equal with the gods, so he's not worried about if any of the other gods get slighted for 30 days. Actually, this is a good idea. Everyone should be willing to honor me. It'll make me look better in my kingdom. It'll remind them of my majesty. Hey, good idea. And, oh, by the way, I'm not risking anybody that I really care about because all my upper-level management loves this idea. And so they convince him to sign it into law. Oh, and by the way, they've got this excellent punishment. Anybody who doesn't do this, throw them in the den of lions. Now, this isn't something he had to go out and construct. He already had one. He liked this idea. Get rid of it. What a deterrent. You do what I say, or I throw you in my den of lions. So he had this thing already ready. So they say, here's the rule. And, oh, by the way, if anybody doesn't honor you, you get to use your den of lions. Yippee. So he buys right into it. Okay? He didn't think anybody was at risk. Number five, no matter who you serve, you will promote who you serve. If you serve God, then try to be genuine as possible. If you serve yourself, then you'll do whatever it takes to make yourself look good. If you serve something or someone else, then you will invest your energies in promoting and protecting them. And if you don't serve God, you will promote everything else, even if you have to lie. The presidents and satraps were hypocrites. They spoke, oh, King Darius, live forever. But they didn't mean it. That's not what they wanted. They wanted to get rid of the guy who Darius trusted the most. They were seeking to get rid of their rival. So even though they appeared to be promoting the king's welfare, they were simply promoting themselves. Verses 8 through 10. They wanted this law signed into law right away. The timing was important. They wanted to do this before Daniel became promoted to this high spot of president of presidents. So they got the king to sign it. Now, not all documents fall in this in those days, only the ones that were signed into legal documents. And the reason that they laughed at that way is because the king was considered to be an incarnation of deity. And so anything that the king signed off like that made it the law of the gods. And it couldn't be revoked. It couldn't be overturned. And that's what they had asked for. And so Darius, thinking nothing's at risk and only his honor would be gained, signed it and made it irreversible. Daniel found out about the injunction and did what he always did. He went home, he opened the windows on the upper part of his house, second, third story, we don't know how high it was, turned towards Jerusalem, got down on his knees, prayed, and thanked God. He did this three times a day. Now, was this in defiance of the king's authority? Yes, it was. Was this in defiance of authority? No, it wasn't. Don't confuse the two. Daniel was a tremendous servant to the king and the king that came before him, Nebuchadnezzar. So this man has proven that he's not one who just defies authority for the fun of it. But Daniel was a servant of the Lord God Almighty. And so Daniel first paid honor where honor was due. And he did not defy the authority of the Lord God. And with us as well. When the Lord puts us in positions, we are to obey the authority that's over us. I didn't say whether you like them or not. And we're to do that as much as is possible for us without disobeying God. We obey God first, then we obey the rest. So 6, if you serve God, then live your faith, don't flaunt your faith. Daniel didn't flaunt his faith, but he didn't hide it either. He would have been wrong, for instance, if he would have went home, said, I'm not obeying this, got down on his knees in his front yard, turned towards Jerusalem, and started praying and thanking God. That would have been thumbing his nose in the face of Darius and his law. But he didn't. He went home and he did the thing that he had been normally doing even before the law came into existence. He just lived out his faith. 7, if you serve God, then living out your faith may mean entrusting your life to a God that will deliver you up to your enemies for His glory. God put Daniel in this spot. God put him where he was in danger. Now, God is either sovereign or He's not. Daniel believed that He was. He was sovereign in his life and in the life of everybody else on the earth. And so he acted like it. He went home and prayed and thanked God just like he always had done. Amazing. God had just delivered him up to death. And yet, Daniel believed somehow that God had the right to do this if it brought him glory, if this was the mechanism he was going to use to give him glory. I recently heard a terrible but wonderful story. This is a true story. It just happened not too long ago. A young American soldier went over to Iraq, and while he's a Christian, and while he was there, started spreading the gospel, met many people, shared the gospel with many, but it really got a burden for this young Muslim woman. And this young Muslim woman was obviously a God-hater. It wasn't her religion at all. But he sent home to his family and friends, pray for this girl, I have a real burden for her, and lo and behold, sooner or later, God gave faith. And she repented and believed. Well, little by little, they spent a little time together, and they fell in love and believed it was God's will for them to be married, and so they got engaged. He sent her over to the United States. That's where they were going to live. And sent her over here. Now her family found out and came over to the United States of America and forcibly took her back home to Iraq. And then forcibly tried to get her to recant her faith. And when she would not recant her faith, they stoned her to death. Okay? I say it's a terrible, wonderful story because, first of all, I'm very proud that this is my sister in Christ. And, oh, by the way, this is a person young in her faith but understood what God had done in her. And this is a person who understood that God would get glory even if it meant taking her life. And so we should celebrate her life and the work of God in her life. Verse 11. Daniel's enemies came and found him praying. He had deviated from what he had done all the time. Now, this is exactly what his enemies had hoped for. This is what they planned on. You see, he could have just closed his windows, right? Nobody would have known. He could have kept on praying. So was Daniel a little goofy? Did he want to be sent to the lion's den? What was wrong with this man? Well, Daniel was going to be true to who he was, and he wasn't going to deviate from his practices with God because his God had not changed, nor had his relationship with his God. And so he stayed the same. Number 8. If you serve God, then living out your faith may give your enemies exactly what they want to destroy you. The thing that Daniel's enemies were sure of is that Daniel was going to worship his God. Can you imagine the shock on their faces if they would have went and found Daniel bowing down to the king? It was exactly this character and spirit that was in Daniel that was a threat to them. And they knew they could count on it. Verses 12 and 13. And this gang of conspirators came to the king and reminded him what he had signed into law. They didn't leave anything out, including the punishment. They said the whole thing. Darius says, I remember the law. I signed the thing. I even remember the punishments. Well, the trap is set and now sprung. All they had to do was show him what's caught in the trap. Of course, that was Daniel. Oh, and watch how they did it. They're really slick. They don't present Daniel in the light of who he is now. They present him of who he used to be. He's one of those exiles, one of those slaves from Judah. They don't say he's the best guy for running your kingdom. They leave that out. they're careful to point out that he was a slave and that he wasn't paying any attention to you or your laws, king. Oh, by the way, he does it three times a day. He's a continual offender. So 9. If you serve God, then in order to justify their attack on you, your enemies may bring up your past. They didn't tell the king who Daniel was. They told the king who Daniel used to be. They made him one of those lousy exiles. He's not one of us. They put him in his worst kind of light that they possibly could. I want you to know that Satan does this all the time with us. He always accuses us. He's constantly pointing out who you used to be without Christ while carefully isolating you from the truth of who you are today. Be careful. He's an accuser of the brethren. Verses 14 and 15. The king was distressed. He was about to lose his best leader, so he spent all day trying to figure out how to deliver him. But these schemers, they came to the king. They saw what he was doing. And they came to him and they said, "Hey, king, you signed this into law. It's irrevocable. Quit trying to save him." King knows, okay, I can't do anything about it. I'm God incarnate. I have to leave it the way it is. So he gets Daniel and throws him in the lion's den. Number 10. No matter who you serve, man cannot deliver you. Even the best efforts of man can't deliver you from the situation that God puts you in. If this happens, look for what God is trying to do to display himself. I say that again. If this happens, and it will, look for how God is using the situation to display himself. 11. No matter who you serve, short-term gratification could cost you what you really desire. Darius did not want to lose any of his kingdom. He wanted to be powerful and honored. He wanted to have the praise of men so badly he compromised the greatest asset he had, and that was Daniel. He wasn't thinking straight. And he almost lost Daniel. Be careful not to be like Darius for the potential of the praise of men. Think before making big decisions, especially when the decision is promoted by vanity. Short-term decisions have devastating long-term effects. 16 through 18. The king threw Daniel into the den of lions while trying to comfort Daniel. Isn't that great? In an ironic moment, the king told Daniel that he hoped that the God who Daniel served continually, oh, by the way, who got him into this mess, would also deliver him. Now, I think that we can believe Darius somehow hoped that God did deliver him. He didn't have any reason for it, but I think Darius thought there might even be a chance at it. And we'll see that, by the way, he returned the next morning in a minute. But number 12 first. If you serve God, then display your hope in God, and even a heathen will know that God gives hope. When your life displays the power of God on a regular basis, even those who don't believe in God, they see your hope in Him during difficult circumstances. I'm constantly amazed. I see this all the time. You know, we live out our faith, and the people who never worship God could care less about what God does. Boy, let their kids get sick, let they lose their finances, they can't pay their rent, tornadoes are coming, whatever. They will start praying like crazy. Oh, by the way, we do the same thing. I get that. But we're told to do that. We're God's kids. We belong to Him. But they don't worship Him. They don't belong to Him. Why do they do it? They have no faith. Well, they do it because they see hope in us that we have in Him during hard times. They want hope too. They try the same thing. Well, the lion's den was sealed with a stone. The king affixed his ring on it, the signet of his lords underneath him, so it wouldn't be disturbed. And he left Daniel in the hands of his God and the lions. He didn't eat. He didn't sleep. Somehow, the fact that Darius had to do this to Daniel really bothered him. 13. If you serve God, then remember that even the wicked hate losing something that benefits them. Darius hated losing Daniel. That's the guy that served him the best. And actually, by looking at the story, he was the only one that could be trusted in his whole kingdom. So be valuable to the world around you, and they will fight to keep you around. Verse 19 through 23. First thing in the morning, remember Darius hadn't been asleep yet, he runs out to the lion's den. Doesn't even wait for the stone to get off the top of it, and starts hollering in anguish for Daniel. And he says this, "Daniel, servant of the living God." He asked if Daniel's God had been able to deliver him from the lion's den. And Darius was willing to call God the living God, but without even knowing the extent of his power yet. Interesting. After all, Darius didn't even worship God. 14. If you serve God, then remember that a life of faith gives you an identity, and be proud of the title. Daniel's life of faith gave him an identity. He couldn't have been given a higher honor than to be called servant of the living God. I wonder what we title ourselves. Do you name yourself by your occupation? What's your life demonstrate? When people look at you, do what they call you, is that servant of the living God? Or do they pick something else? Well, Daniel answers the king, O king, live forever. Same greeting used by these hypocrites, the presidents and the satraps. My God and his angels have been able to deliver me from the mouth of the lions. He states that he was rescued because he was found blameless before both the king and God. 15. If you serve God, then respect earthly authority without hypocrisy and without reducing your stand for God. Daniel didn't rail at the king. Oh, he could have. He didn't accuse the king of stupidity for being duped. He could have. He didn't have a bad attitude towards the guy who just tried to kill him as an innocent man. Could have done that too. He didn't even point out the king's vanity. Daniel honored the king because God had appointed Darius as the king, and Daniel wasn't going to go against God's choices. I question Christians right now in this time of our life. Many of our elected officials have stands that are terribly against Christian stands. Be careful how you speak of them. I understand you don't have to appreciate their stance. Daniel didn't appreciate Darius's. And I'm not telling you that you shouldn't take a stand against such things as abortion and so on and so forth. I am telling you, be careful of how you speak about the one who God has put in that position. 16. If you serve God, then allow God to fight for your innocence. Daniel was found unharmed because he was blameless before God and king. Sometimes God receives glory in the death of his saints. I just told you a story not too long ago. But we are to tell the truth about ourselves, and we are to trust the faithful Creator who put us in these circumstances. If he has given us an advocate in Christ, then he has not forgotten you in your hard times. Well, King Darius was exceedingly glad. He'd kept the irrevocable law, and now he can do whatever he wants with Daniel. So he takes him out of the lion's den. And no damage was found there. He had trusted God. So 17, if you serve God, remember that God can do what man cannot do. God delivered Daniel. The king couldn't deliver Daniel, even though he was God incarnate, or he thought he was. Daniel couldn't even deliver himself, even though he was important in the kingdom. God delivered Daniel. 18, if you serve God, trust in God and leave the damage to God's discretion. Daniel didn't back off his stance. He wasn't a coward. He opened his windows. He went up there and prayed just like he always had. He was a man of God. He was placed in this deadly situation by the God who he trusted and served. But Daniel knew God as the one and only living God. He believed that God was the one in control, and he believed this even though he might have died. Well, the king's focus moves from Daniel to the ones who had deceived him. This can't be good. King Darius commands that all these men who had deceived him, there were a lot of them. I mean, you're talking at least 120 people, right? Okay, plus two presidents. Plus, if he just decided to listen and throw the governors and counselors in there. We're talking about a lot of people. And he says, gather them all up and throw them in the den of lions. Oh, and take their families and their children with them, their wives and their children with them, throw them all in there. Are you getting the focus of what size this den of lions is? Monstrous, right? Throw them all in there. And these lions were vicious. Before, just so there's a comparison here, Daniel was one man thrown in there who came out unharmed. This king starts throwing in 100 plus their families in there. These lions are so vicious that they're already attacking him before they hit the ground. And they crush every bone. That's what the Bible says. Incredible. Vicious attack. Proverbs 12:13 says, an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. but the righteous escapes trouble. 19. No matter who you serve, don't mess with God's people. He'll do something about it. God is allowed to place His people in earthly peril. He knows what awaits them in glory. They won't die. They'll have everlasting life. They're His people. They're His children. He can do what He wants with them. Presidents and satraps thought that they could control everything by their deception and manipulation. But God was in control. And He displayed His glory by rescuing Daniel. And then He displayed His glory by eradicating His enemies. 2 Peter 2, 9 and 10 say, "The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, especially those who indulge in lusts of defiling passion and despise authority." 25-27. King Darius then makes a different decree, and it doesn't honor Darius and it doesn't honor Daniel. It honors God. He even says who's to listen to it. "All peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth." And he says, "Peace be multiplied to you." He says, "Everyone in his kingdom is to tremble and fear the God of Daniel." Isn't it interesting that even after all this, it's still not Darius' God? He says it's God of Daniel. So here's this man who now has an understanding of God's power, but still doesn't claim to make God his God. Darius prophesies in an odd way, much like Caiaphas does when he's speaking of Christ in John chapter 11, 50 and 51. Listen to this. "Nor do you understand it's better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation." Darius is doing the same thing in this prophecy he's giving, getting ready to give off. So he gives the highest praise to God. He says that God is living and will endure forever. This is kind of the same thing as saying, "O King God, live forever." The same idea. Now Darius is saying it. He continues to say that God will always reign. No one will conquer Him. He describes what he's seen God do. God delivers and rescues. He works signs and miracles and wonders in heaven. He saved Daniel from the vicious and powerful lions. So 20. No matter who you are, at some point all will know that God is the living God. Darius had reached a point he was willing to make this proclamation even without being one who worshipped God. What God had made clear to Daniel by faith, Darius made clear to his kingdom without any faith. God declared the truth about himself through this heathen king. And what Darius declared was true about God is also true about the Christ that was yet to come. Listen to Jeremiah says about God. "For the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the everlasting King. At His wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure His indignation." And then Isaiah speaks of Christ. "Of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore." And listen, He'll do it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. You see, Daniel's a foreshadowing of Christ. Like Daniel, Christ served obediently and no fault was found in him except for his faith. Like Daniel, Christ was falsely accused and put to death. Like Daniel, Christ was sealed with a stone in what was supposed to be his grave. Like Daniel, Christ was delivered by God to what appeared to be apparent death. Daniel did not die then, but Daniel did finally die. Christ died, but was raised and remains alive forevermore. Daniel's enemies were destroyed, and Christ's enemies will be destroyed forevermore. In both cases, God did this. Well, verse 28. So in the end, Daniel was the only one who prospered in this scenario. The king who served himself as God looked foolish because he was conned by his uppermost advisors. So in the end, the ones who he wanted to have the honor from the most, who knew him best, considered him foolish, not the desired end. The presidents and satraps who had tried to promote themselves by getting rid of their competition, by killing Daniel, they wound up dead, not the desired end. Daniel was the only one that prospered through this whole thing. And he did prosper on earth, but that wasn't his intent. That's not what he was after. His desire was to promote the Lord God while living on the earth. He received his desire, and for God promoted himself through Daniel, and Daniel now enjoys his Lord forever. So 21. If you serve God, then focus on the prosperity that is to come, not on this world. Only the servants of God will enjoy the presence of the Lord forever. This is real prosperity. This isn't short-term gratification. Romans 8:17 and 18 say this, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." So once again, I remind you, the God that you serve makes all the difference in how you're going to live your life. And how you live your life makes all the difference in how you're going to end up. We're going to have the ushers come forward and the musicians. So take a minute, think about it, and then we'll come to the Lord's table.